You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
And with us are some authors who wrote a book, Jim Golnick and is it pronounced Lisette Guevara? Lisette Guevara.
Yep.
Very good. And they are hosts of LoveWorks, and you'll find out what that is. It's the science of relationships, and they'll be glad to explain that for us. Your book is called Single, How I Found My Perfect Match in 90 Days. So if it's been eluding you and you want to know how to meet that perfect person, tonight you will find out how to do it and in 90 days. And they document the actual process that Lisette used to discover herself and uncover Jim. And it's very interesting in their book, by the way, called Single, How I Found My Perfect Match in 90 Days. Both Jim and Lisette talk about how they met each other. And I thought it was very unique. It was very enjoyable. Plus, there's a checklist, and they'll tell you about all that. Some neat stuff in it that are very helpful. And the way they met each other, the results in their story, in fact, were so extraordinary that family and friends really wanted the couple to write a book and to share the information. They thought it would be helpful to a lot of other people as well. So they're not only talking about relationships, but they have walked their story. They have lived it, and they've lived the advice they offer. And they're not only co-authors and co-hosts, but husband and wife. Although I got to say, you got to help me here, Jim. On the cover, I noticed, Lisette, you're wearing a wedding ring and Jim doesn't.
Now I have to look at the book.
Oh,
You know what? I wear my wedding ring on my right hand.
Oh, I can't see your right hand in this picture.
Very good, and that's very perceptive as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about meeting people, and with us here is also Dr. Karam, who also has quite a bit of expertise in relationships. Dr. Karam, always great to have you with us.
So great to be back, part of the Sunday night family.
He is. Dr. Karam is definitely part of our Sunday night family, and so it's just great. We're going to talk about relationships tonight. And it's interesting that whether you're 16 or 60, meeting that right person seems to always be a chore and a never-ending battle. So we'll take a look at how that all happens. So, Lisette, Jim, let's start off a little bit about where does this start? You know, first, there's the rebound person, and you could be the reboundee or the rebounder. And how does that work in terms of you've been in an intense relationship and suddenly it's over and now you're out on the market again looking for someone?
Yeah, and that is one of the main ways people get reinvolved, is that they have that big emptiness after being very emotionally involved in a relationship. And the quickest, easiest way to fill that void is to find somebody to spend time with, to get into an emotional relationship, you know, gain distance from that ex relationship, keeping you busy so you don't have to think about now that broken heart that you might have. And it may be a really good way to stop thinking about the ex, and hopefully you can avoid talking about them to the new person, but it's really a bad way to get involved in a new relationship.
Jim, a lot of people's Dr. Karam Eli speaking here. Now, a lot of people would say, yes, staying busy, as you say, is the key. But what about these people, and marriage and family therapists see people all the time that jump into relationships too soon? So while staying busy might be important, it doesn't necessarily have to be with the significant other in a romantic relationship, especially if you have not learned kind of your pattern or the mistakes that got you in trouble in that previous relationship.
Well, also, I want to know how soon is too soon.
And I think too soon is going to vary for each person. I agree with Dr. Karam exactly that jumping into a new relationship is bad. It is too soon. It's exactly what you shouldn't do. But it is what many people do, and it does cause them to repeat the same mistakes when they aren't finding out what their patterns are, what the things are that are leading them to the wrong person.
Well, what are some of the best ways you're finding that people meet each other? I'm finding more and more people who are meeting each other, for example, believe it or not, on these different Match.com and some of these computer and... I just can't believe it, but we did a show on this one week, and we found all kinds of people who all met each other over the Internet.
And Lizette and I met each other over the Internet.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, it was it was interesting. Lizette, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Lizette, talk to us.
Yes. When my friends say, hey, you need looking for the man in Internet, I say, I feel scared because, and you know, sometimes you find crazy people. You say, oh, my God. But I take a decision. He say, okay, maybe this work put all my list, the 40 items about what is the man that I want, what is my offer for him. It's amazing how the system say I have at the 97% that compatible with him.
Right, we know that online dating, especially validated sites like Match.com and of the like have come a long way in kind of increasing the credibility of online dating that you really can sort and filter. How long did you all talk to each other? Another reason people like online dating is you, as I said, can really control and filter. You can only share certain information until you're really comfortable. How long did it take you all talking online till you decided you actually wanted to meet and learn more about each other?
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks, which is, as you would think, relatively quick, but there was a lot of back and forth. There were very few people on my list that were at that high compatibility. And when we found that high compatibility and we were talking back and forth, it only took a couple of weeks for us to go, you know, there is so much in common. Why don't we get together face-to-face and actually talk?
Now, what's interesting is, Dr. Freer, that the algorithms that they use with some of those different matchmaking services have been challenged as to their validity. Dr. Karam, have you looked into some of that literature?
Well, I think when I haven't looked into that literature specifically, but when you're looking for a site like that, you have to look at the site, see why or why it is not a good fit for you, what they're offering, and again, what are they matching you up on? Dimensions of compatibility, personality characteristics, which we know are stable or enduring, or more sometimes reliable than activity shared or what you like to do in your free time. So it's all about what they're basing those metrics or those algorithms on. And it's also, you know, it's really up to the person. I can tell, and this is something we can maybe talk about later in the hour, you all are in a cross-cultural relationship. I'm looking at your book. You're certainly an attractive couple, but I guess I'm wondering, too, how much online can you tell about those cultural differences that may be relevant to some of our listeners out there?
And I would say you probably can't tell all that much on the cultural differences. So I think that's a good point, that maybe we got lucky with the cross-cultural differences, but we did have the underlying, at least the level of education, our interests, business, marketing, the 40 items that
I put a lot of information, only all is true. It is really important.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to be truthful on these things. So one of the things is filtering. You know, you spend a lot of time investing in getting to know about someone, exchanging messages online, learning about them, and then you meet them and they don't live up to the
Someone did a study, and the average person missed their weight by about 18 pounds. They're 18 pounds more than what they said they were. And then I think there was something else. Oh, height was another one. They tend to be about 2 inches shorter than what they put on their form.
Now, when you all met, was there a geographic distance, or were you both local? Because that is sometimes not a barrier for people that like online dating. They don't care if it's quite a geographic spread, whereas other people, they want the person to be in town.
We were close. We were both within about 10 miles of Dallas.
Great. See, I come from L.A. First question you ask somebody is, where do you live? You can be in L.A. County and be an hour and a half apart, 2 hours apart. And hi, and welcome. We're talking about relationships tonight. By the way, we have a couple copies, thanks to the authors, of their book called Single. And there's some neat charts. In fact, I told my son, who was single, that I would be sending him a copy of the book because it has some neat compatibility issues. We'll get to those, I guess, before we get done. But there's a father and mother questionnaire and some other issues. I'll let them tell you about it. We'll let Lisette and Jim tell you. But it's really a nifty book called Single, How I Found My Perfect Match in 90 Days. And the lines are open just for giving us a call, talking with us on the air. We'll send you a complimentary copy. 571-0970. And what we're asking is, how did you meet that special person in your life? What was the method you used? Did someone fix you up? Did you find someone? How did you meet someone? 571-0970.
Jim and Lizette, Dr. Kiram here again. Did you write this with the intention for anybody or for people getting out of a relationship or perhaps ending a marriage and starting on their second relationship?
That's a real good question. We wrote it based upon ourselves, and both of us had been in relationships. And I think some of the things we did was look at what perhaps made our relationship successful and how we went about it. So it is useful in both. We think it is useful in both instances, whether someone's getting out of a relationship, someone's getting into one, or if someone's even in a relationship and wants to know more about their partner.
Great. How did you come up with that 90-day metric? Because a lot of people would say, especially people in my business and Dr. Frager's business, that is a very quick time to assess compatibility on all the different things, personalities, background, education level, all these things that we know are important. That's a quick time to do that. So how did you come up with the 90 days, you and Lizette?
This is actually the time frame that Lizette took. So we said how I found my perfect match in 90 days is how she did. So the process of doing it, which is a step-by-step process walking her through, by the time she was done with her list of 40 items, this is how it worked for her. That it may take shorter or longer, but you're right, it is a quick time frame. But most people don't even know what they want. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they want in a relationship. I think you mentioned before, they don't take the time after a relationship sometimes to really think about that before jumping into another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this gives them that opportunity that if they're not in a relationship right now, let's do some self-work, self-observation first before going out to try to find someone to fit you if you don't know who you are or what you want.
Yeah, it's a real good point. I often tell couples or individuals when they come into my office this idea that they want to blame their partner for everything that went wrong in a current or past relationship. I say I never met a relationship where one person is 100% of the blame. It's always some shared kind of mutual interaction. Everybody to get better has to take accountability for their part in the couple cycle. And if you don't know what your part is or you think it's all the other person's fault, you're not going to get very far. So tell us more about, in that 90 days, these things that you are looking for, these key items on anyone's checklist that we should be looking for to determine if this new person is right for us or not.
Well, I think going back, and Lizette can mention a little bit about this, is that in the self-observation of who you are and what you want in a relationship, is that you're trying to internalize all this, is get it in, get what's in your conscious mind and your unconscious or subconscious, however you want to say it, to be with you all the time so you really are knowing what you want. So you're not sitting there checking off a list at a date, you know, like pull out the book and check, okay, number one they hit, number two they hit. But it's going to be very specific for each person. It's going to be in the forefront of your mind. So, like for Lizette, she wanted somebody that had a certain education level because she has a certain education level. She had a certain business aptitude, so she was looking for those things.
Now, Lizette, as I recall, you would be a tough act to match up to. You have all kinds of degrees. I mean, you've got engineering background. You've got a number. You have a very wide educational background.
Yes, I love students. Yes, a continuing idea about Jean said, if I am divorced in 14 years ago, I have a lot of maybe boyfriend, but never I take a time for say, okay, really why I want. Like my different question about the culture, knowledge, or item, the 40 item is about maybe the what kind of profession have the other people, how he believes or behaves about relationship.
But what about cultural differences? You're obviously from South America, and
yes.
Jim, you're obviously not. And so how does that match up to what your ideal person would be like?
Maybe, I guess, for my personality, I travel a lot for different countries. I made business in Panama, U.S., Mexico, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico. These different, maybe know a different culture. Maybe it's easy for us live together now. I guess it's important when you know what kind of the risk you have or what kind of the...
You're saying the risk between...
Well, and you live in the Dallas area, which I would think would be more accommodating to Hispanic and multicultural couples because there is a large Hispanic population in the area.
And we left there and moved to New Jersey, so.
Well, education level is.
Well, New Jersey, there you found a lot of Puerto Ricans.
Right.
Yeah.
But the idea of cultural differences or not, certainly being matched on education level, intelligence is important, especially if the life of the mind is important to you and you're going to grow with your partner. It's hard to imagine picking someone where intellectual pursuits were not as important, even if though they might be different. So that was one of your markers, Lizette. What else were you looking for in this 90 days that Jim fit the bill for?
One important thing is that I guess that we have is that our family, our father and mother is similar, okay?
That our parents are actually very similar. Our parents are both remain married at 50 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Our families are very close. Our families and their relatives are very close. And that was very similar. Even though it's cross culture, it was the type of family history that she was looking for in her partner.
So family of origin experience, another big one, Dr. Stein.
Right. Yeah. We'll get back to that in a minute. And I'm welcome. And we're with Lisette Guevara, Jim Galnick, author of a book called Single? How I Found My Perfect Match in 90 Days. Also is a regular member of our Sunday night family, Dr. Eli Karam, and he's president of Kentucky Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, is professor at the Kent School of Social Work. And Peck, we'll get Chloe, our producer, to get up there, Dr. Karam, on our website. Check out Frager.com, tips from Tony and Dr. Stan, and all kinds of neat ways you can reach Dr. Karam, and he's glad to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad. And Jim and Lizette, before the break, we were talking, you were saying that even though these cultural differences, you will have very similar what we call families of origin, the family that we grew up in. And I always tell people we only have, we only really know two relationships, that of the one we're in and that of the one we grew up in, our parents. It's our blueprint. And some of us don't have a good blueprint. So it's very important, because if you come from a close family and you marry someone that is somewhat cut off or does not value that, that is going to be friction, not only when you start your relationship, especially when you think about having or if you have children. So again, you were telling us about that. What especially were you looking for on your list, Lizette, when it came to family, and especially Jim and his family?
Yes, it's important that we have some classification or values for put more interest in the relationship. And the first is the same knowledge, if we're talking about that. The second is really connection spiritual, because he sometimes the person has different belief in different religion or belief in different culture for knowledge or for the family. And the next is how our mind, our body is at the three things: soul, the emotion, and body. The three area we have a lot of detail similar.
And a lot of that comes from the family upbringing and how you related to that in your youth and how your family raised you. And each of our families raised us in a way where our minds and our bodies were very important, and our spiritual connection.
Yeah, and you're hitting on all the big ones so far: education, religion, family of origin, where we know that all the social psychological research says, you know, in compatibility, we need a good amount of overlap in those areas. Not exactly. Now, given that you were very similar in that, were there some differences? Because people, even if they're alike in a lot of ways, there are some differences and variants in these experiences that are important
sex
to talk about.
Yeah. Let's get to the good stuff.
All right. You're going to get to that first. But before we get to, I'm just wondering if there were any slight differences in those areas that you mentioned, especially around spirituality or religion, that were overall similar but different enough that you at least had to talk about them, because that's a skill that the couples have to do. They have to be able to talk about these differences. You just can't assume everything was like your partner had it growing up.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right that we had a lot of similarities in that way. There was one major difference between Lizette and I, and that is how we think. She is much more concrete and linear in her thought, and I'm much more abstract and scattered. I'm a musician as well, and do a bunch of other things that call for some randomness, and that's how I think. So our process of working together is her recognizing that.
Yeah.
She has to give me time, let me run all over the place, and then come up with, here is the idea. But she has to keep us on task.
Right. We call that paradigm the artist and the scientist. The artist,
well, he's kind of right brain, and she's left brain.
The artist is much more free thinking and likes to do things on their own time, and the scientist is much more structured, ordered, and keeps everybody on schedule. So Dr. Stan wanted to talk about sex.
That's right. Let's get to the good stuff. Wait, before we do that, though, Carl's called in. Let's go to the phones. And we'll get you a complimentary copy of their book. And Carl?
Yes.
All right, because as soon as we get done with you, I'm going to ask about sex.
Good. Let me just ask your group there if they would know single groups in various cities close to Louisville, Kentucky, where one can find where there are single organizations, single groups, single get-togethers.
See, that's part of it. Jim, talk about the fact that you met on the Internet. Is that as important if you meet on the Internet in terms of geographic closeness?
Well, I think if you want to actually meet somebody and have face-to-face communication, which we feel is absolutely necessary early on in the relationship, because if you are doing, say, months of online communication, Lizette has had an instance where somebody she originally met on the Internet was, you know, a scammer, someone who would tell her stuff, but as soon as she said, well, can you send me a picture or a new picture or can we meet or can we video chat, the person would be, oh, I'm busy, I'm not available, and she was just like, okay, that's it, because there are instances where someone will string you along for a while.
So what does Carl do? I'll tell you what, we got to take a little break here in a few seconds, and then when we get back, we'll give him the answer. Hi, and welcome. I'm psychologist Stan Frager. Every Sunday night, this is our time together. It's our Sunday night family. Glad to have you with us. And Joining us is a regular member of our Sunday night family. It's good to see him again, Dr. Eli Karam. Great to have you with us, Dr. Karam, as always. And authors Lisette Guevara and Jim Galnick wrote a book called Single, How I Found My Perfect Match in 90 Days. And that's what we're finding out. Now we're going to help Carl, who wants to meet someone in our greater Louisville area. And we got to talk about sex. Got to get to the good stuff. All right.
Quickly, Carl, you need to look places. What you like to do is where you're going to meet people that with similar interests, i.e. for many people, it is their hobbies, whether it be something like a dance class, a book club, possibly a church group. You got to go where the people are that you share some common interest with.
Could be somebody walking around Seneca Park.
Correct. Walking. Also, personal introductions. If you have a friend that knows a friend, these are still the best ways to meet people. In lieu of that, you can pursue very successfully, as we said earlier in the hour, what Jim and Lisette did, which is online dating. And there are all online dating sites, geared towards people that are just starting out or rebuilding. So you need to don't give up. And when I also tell people this that come in to consult a relationship-based therapist, it's something you can't give up on right away. If you do an online dating site, and Jim and Lisette, I don't know how long you all were doing this before you met each other. People think you just meet your match right away. Some people do this for months, sometimes even years, before they find that Mr. or Mrs. Right. So it is something you cannot just give up on right away, don't you guys think?
We agree with that. We also think you hit all the major points of activities to be involved in. The other is there's things called meetup groups, which can either be for singles or it can be for hobbies, and it's, there's that meetup site. So you can go look for something that has interest or you're interested in, either from a singles direction or from an activity, and it's free.
We hope that helps you, Carl.
One question. Do any of you all have a list of single groups that might be in this area or close to this area, or just people that are single come together and do all kinds of things?
What you want to do, Carl, is get your internet out and Google Louisville meetup singles activities in single groups and see what that comes up with.
Good.
Okay, Carl, take care.
Good. Many thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
All right. Now, as Dr. Stan's been proving, we know you cannot be in a committed relationship without having some degree of sexual compatibility. And I always work with couples. And for some couples, Jim and Lisette, it's more important than others. But you have to assess this. And again, 90 days, depending on your values or how slow or fast a starter you are, can be an interesting timetable to assess this dynamic. So tell us about sexual compatibility, how important it was in your kind of checklist, Lisette, and what people should be looking for as far as that very important dimension.
Yes, it's really important because I guess it's a two important, the communication and sexual. Okay, when you have these tools, it work for you, you have
an intimate relationship that you can go beyond than just a normal everyday activity to communication, deep at a soul level, and as well as the sexual chemistry, that it becomes transparent. To be able to tell the other person anything, if you are not compatible sexually and you're not able to speak about it to the other partner, that can build a wedge and build a wall and separate the couple.
And sure can. And you're also talking about this idea when you are communicating well, when you feel emotionally connected to somebody in healthy relationships, the physical intimacy naturally flows. So this idea of having both is very important. Now, what if you do feel like you're getting close to that partner, but you're just not there with the sex yet? It is either different sex than you've had before, or not the same quality, but again, you feel close to that person, you're still hopeful that you can work on it, but it is not exactly meeting all your requirements. How do you give that feedback to a potential new partner?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I think you need to be honest and open, and maybe if it takes going to a therapy session or two together to discuss that and be able to feel more relaxed about doing it, it's something that's real good to look for professional counseling or therapy that can help you through that.
Yeah, and again, it's a very important. My son has a unique situation. He dates someone for about 30 days, for about a month to 3 months, and they disappear. I mean, there's a pattern. And he said to me tonight, he said, Dad, you know, after a while I got to start looking at myself about all these, every time I date a nice, pretty young woman, it lasts 1 month to 3 months, and then she goes away. I said, have you done any exit interviews? You know, that's how my mind goes. It's like, find out why they're leaving.
Right.
Let her tell you.
It goes back to this idea that we have to take accountability for our part in the relationship, and if we can't look at our own patterns or what we contribute, it's really hard to imagine being successful in these long-term relationships. That being said, you guys are not clinicians or psychologists like Dr. Stan or myself, so this idea that I think one draw to your book is that you are real people who met and are practicing what you preach. Tell us a little bit about your background and how did two engineers go on to become relationship experts and write this book?
Well, and I'm going to speak for both of us. I'll get it out quicker. And that's one thing that we've learned is that Lizette has so many brilliant ideas, and we discuss them, and then sometimes I have to be the translator or spokesman for us. So I'll be the marketing person right now.
My hard accent.
But how we got involved in it is our backgrounds. She's industrial engineering and doctorate in education. I'm MBA in electrical engineering. And so we came from much more of a, I'll say, scientific engineering standpoint and drew together that way.
Tell you what, hold on just for a minute, and we'll find out the rest of the story as soon as we get back. All right, hi and welcome. I'm Stan Traeger with Lizette Guevara and Jim Kolnick, and we're talking about, tell us real quick again now, how you ever got together.
Well, this starts off with Lizette has been involved in business processes, processing optimization, ISO 9000, with businesses for 20 years. She's been teaching it, she's had her own consulting firm, and she decided to use the same process.
Things like the Baldrige Award. You had to meet her quality standards.
I had to meet her quality standards.
Yeah, certification.
I'm certified. I have a stamp now.
So you guys might find this interesting, but you all have these engineering systemic backgrounds, and marriage and family therapy was actually founded on systemic thinking. So a lot of these principles, as you're saying, that engineers use, really, when we think about homeostatic patterns and cycles and everything we've been talking about as far as couples' relationships, are actually really related. So believe it or not, lots of engineers have gone on to second careers as relationship experts and couples therapists. You might not know that.
We did not know that, but we did find it kind of interesting at the similarities. We went with this book from our own experience. I hate to say this, but we'll be the first to admit, we didn't go and do other research to come up with, let's pull a little bit from here and there and put it in here. This came from our hearts. We wrote this in about 6 weeks from our own experience, our own knowledge, or let's say our own thoughts about the knowledge.
And so, you have some great check sheets in there and great helps for people.
How can people find out more about the book or about you guys?
Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Tonight we're talking about questions from our listening audience, and as you probably heard, some of our friends, as well as people we know. I have two options. I have two partners, and I don't know which one to go with. And I know there are many people who have had this, because we've discussed somebody who's in a relationship and they're also cheating. Well, which one should I be with? Mm-hmm. We've known people who are single. I say single. They're not married, but they've been dating somebody who's been married for the last 5 years, and they are waiting and waiting and waiting for them to finally break up their marriage to be with them, but they've never done it. But here's a situation where somebody has two options, and they don't know which one to go with. You know how they decide?
No, how?
Get a third option.
Okay.
Start dating someone else and let that person objectively decide which of the other two people you should be with.
Wow, he's amazing.
Blow my mind. Yeah. So some of our answers are a little bit, what is it called? Sarcastic.
No.
No. You need 3, 4, 5 relationships in order to determine which one is best. My, oh, my. So how should someone determine which relationship they should be in?
That is, remind me, some person, they have the same situation, and he believe the old people have more knowledge, And he went to one old guy and asked, and the recommendation is thinking which one is more sweet and you feel that you can be all with her. And he picked up this person.
Oh, he did pick that person.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that.
That's interesting. I thought it was going to be like some of the other advice we've heard, okay, where you'll give someone advice. Okay,
I have some other examples.
I want to hear this other story. This is a great story.
So, which one? The story?
I'd like to go to the story about the person who's asked you at least two different times about specific advice.
Yeah, so, and also we see a long term, because it's almost 10 years ago. She called me and put me the situation. Hey, I wanted your recommendation. I have two options to make a decision, and I wanted you help me. So, and I explained option A have this positive and negative, option B positive and negative, and I say for the balance of the option, option A is the better for you if you want to hear my recommendation. So she disappeared, and few months called me and say, I picked option B because it's something that I feel more connected.
Okay.
I don't feel connection with option A. And I said, go ahead. So 1 or 2 years later, she called me. I was wrong. You were right. Option A was the best. So, and this has happened now again. So she called me for other stuff. And and she tells me, oh my God, why I keep going take an option for how I feeling versus your recommendation, and also why she has recommendations. So, she know already what did she want.
I'm going to change the perspective. I'm going to change the way this is being looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there are some people, no matter what option they take, it will turn out to be the wrong option because of how they live on a daily basis with the choices they make. They're always looking for something not to be right in the choice they make. So if they chose option A or option B, whichever would have been the wrong option. If they had followed your advice, something would have gone wrong, and then they would have said, I should have taken option B. So that's one way we haven't looked at this yet.
Yeah.
But sometimes, is option A or option B better? You know what? Either option is the best, but take a choice, make a choice, and make that option your best choice by cutting out all other options.
Yeah, no, so I have always the advice that people stay in the middle and not take a decision, and this is more wrong. I put the metaphor, if you are in the highway driving and you have one exit and the right and the left, and you don't know, and you do back and forth. What happened with the people?
You end up in that barrel in the middle.
Yes, also a lot of car maybe scratching with you.
Yeah.
So, see, you and your life are like that, don't know where it's going, and moving the back and forth to one decision and not take it, you make a collateral damage.
Collateral damage.
Yes. So, the first, like that you say, take the decision. And the second, when you make this decision, make a like the work, okay? Because it's something that is, oh, no, I take this and I'm waiting. No, you have to work in the decision that you make.
So there's something in the sales, like I did a lot of studying of marketing and sales when I was younger, even now. But there is something called buyer's remorse that in a buying process, which could be stressful because you have multiple people giving you proposals, you have them giving you features and benefits, they're giving you return on investment, they're giving you all this information, and you take all that information and you create charts of pluses and minuses, you do a Ben Franklin close, you do all these different things to come up with a decision, and you finally make a decision and you give your money to a company. And the first thing that happens is, oh, did I make the right decision? So many people have that buyer's remorse, and it is a known thing people talk about all the time. You make a decision, and then you immediately think, oh boy, I made the wrong decision because of the other options. Again, it's instead of focusing on what you picked and for all the reasons you picked it, in a logical fashion, people do things in an emotional fashion. And then once the emotion of the situation goes away, they're left with the logic, and they start thinking about the logic, and they think, oh, did I make the right decision? Whereas if you have decided and convinced yourself completely, emotionally and logically, that this is the right decision, then you need to stop looking at the alternatives you could have had and look at the reality you do have. The one relationship, how good it can be, how fun it can be, how exciting it can be to be with somebody, to do stuff, to enjoy travel, to look at what's next, to set goals. Not, oh, well, if I picked her, if I picked him, if I took that dog instead of that dog. I mean, there's all these choices we make, and to be sincerely satisfied and focused on the one we made, rather than wonder about all the possibilities that didn't happen yet.
Yeah.
Buyer's remorse sets in when we make decisions unless we focus on the reasons that the decision we made is the best. And going back to what we talked about in the relationship, sometimes that is making your relationship much better in your own mind than in reality, but believing it. And also looking at all those other alternatives and going, oh, those are so crazy because look at this and look at that. That you, when you think negatively of the alternatives and positively of your choice, the relationship will strengthen. And if you do the opposite, think positively of all the alternatives and negatively of the decision you made, your relationship will deteriorate. Yeah. It's really that simple. It's a matter of your mindset and your belief, your emotion, and your commitment.
That's right.
That's right. So what else have we got here? Oh, do you want to go into this? We've got two different things here.
Okay.
We have the jealousy one, or we have the getting back together with your ex one.
Okay, I like that.
So
what happened?
We get this asked all the time. You know, it's been 3-4 months. I broke up with, let's just say, my friend Jay broke up with a girl.
Mary.
Jay broke up with Mary, and it was a long-term relationship. They had been going out for 3 or 4 years, and broke up because it had gone bad. They argued a lot. She started flirting with guys, and he couldn't take it anymore. And they broke up, and they were arguing. And then things kind of settled down. He went out on a date here, went out on a date there. But there's always the baggage of that relationship because there was so much passion and so much emotion. Well, 4 months later, 3 months later, he gets a text from her that just says, hey, what's up? And now he comes with this text and goes, Jim, look, she's texting me. She's texting me. Should I text her back? It's like, you know where the relationship was. You know where it went, where it was going. What are you thinking? And then now he starts projecting. Well, maybe she wants to get back together with me. Maybe she just wants to find her toaster. I mean, who knows? There could be all these things, and people project these things. But let's pretend she does want to get back together with him. Mm-hmm. You spent 3 to 4 years with her. You built this relationship that got destroyed. 3 to 4 months later, you start remembering, and this is something humans do. Humans tend to remember positive things about relationships. Sometimes they remember really bad things about, but people tend to see the bright side of things, especially when they're emotionally lonely. I'm lonely, I start thinking about all the good things of that relationship rather than the bad. And I have no other alternatives right now, so maybe I'll go see if we should get back together again. So the question is, should they? Should they get back together?
Depends.
So here's some questions. Why did you break up? Was it that she cheated on you 4 times? Was it she forgot to lock the front door? I mean, there's differences here. She forgot to lock the front door. She cheated on you 4 times. You got angry with her because she forgot to lock the front door. You got angry with her because she cheated with you 4 times. Or not with you, but on you 4 times. What's the reason for the breakup? Was it something that was really more insignificant that you guys blew out of proportion because you were so emotional, So emotionally,
the lock the door is more important.
Lock the door, sure. Safety, because all of the stuff, my toaster got stolen.
Safety is first.
The second note is, are you idealizing your partner? And we just talked about that. Sometimes we see past relationships much better than they actually were. We can have a romanticized vision or version of the relationship, where maybe remembering the passion that was early on in the relationship rather than the anger and arguments that were later on in the relationship. So another question is, so the person wants to get back with you, have they changed? What makes them a better potential partner than they were when you guys were dating and you then ended up breaking up? What's changed?
Maybe they read our book.
Day Soulmate, and they changed.
Yeah.
Maybe they learned new forms of communication.
Yeah.
Well, not new, better forms of communication. Maybe they learned Spanish.
Who knows?
So another one is, if trust was broken, is there any possibility of rebuilding it? Her trust of you, your trust of her? Can it be rebuilt? If it was your partner's fault that they broke up, are they truly apologetic? Do they take responsibility for what they did? Are they completely transparent with you as to what happened and why it happened? And speaking of that, do you accept your culpability, your shared, what is that called? Your shared, not responsibility, but the amount of, do you take your share of responsibility for the problems in the relationship? So yes, this may have happened. Maybe she did go and cheat on you. What happened in the relationship that allow the relationship to get to that point where she cheated on you? Were you spending time hanging out at work with female coworkers? Who knows? Was there other stuff going on? Not trying to downplay any of the seriousness of cheating or things that go on in a relationship, but are you also responsible for what happened in the relationship? And are you able to now communicate that? How long would it take to rebuild trust? Are you willing to take it slowly? Or do you immediately want to get back into that passionate part of the relationship? And I guess that was it. Recognizing your own role and having them recognize their role in the responsibility for what happened. So should you get back? It's a good question. Sometimes people do it because they're lonely. Sometimes they do it because they don't have another alternative right now.
Yeah.
So maybe you should have two or three alternatives and then let the third person choose for you. No, it's a joke. So.
And most of the statistics say that the people don't want to be alone. So prefer to stay in some relationship or go back to this because it's something that you know versus the challenge to be in the new one that you don't know. So say, okay, it's better bad that you know versus...
Yeah, the bad you know is better than the good you don't know.
Exactly.
So one thing that I would say, we would suggest, is before you consider this relationship, consider your own life. Are you one? Physically, are you doing the things physically that you want to be doing? Are you working out? Are you eating healthy? How are you in that realm? You know, your own well-being. Are you taking care of yourself mentally, socially? Are you involved with other people? Are you doing things that keep you involved with others? Is your life fulfilling to you? Are you doing hobbies? Is work going well for you? Look at filling your life, making you as strong as possible. So instead of feeling like what's missing is this person, make it with everything going so well in my life, you know what? I want the addition of this person because these are the things that and how they fit with me.
With me.
Not they fit with me. Not I miss them and I am only fulfilled by having this person in my life. So part of the psychological or therapy that you see that therapists say is build your own self-esteem, build your own self-confidence, build your own sense of strength, and it will be easier to make those decisions. I mean, how have they changed? How have you changed to make the potential for that relationship to be better the second time around? Mm-hmm. Has enough time transpired? Has there been enough time out of any relationship to reduce the amount of emotional decision-making and to build a little bit in the logic, trust, communication?
And also, you remind me the question that I send, the people send to us.
Yeah.
It's about when somebody feel they bring more, they receive in the relationship. So this is really challenging, because first, if you feel that you do more stuff for keeping the relationship, you don't receive.
Yeah.
It's maybe can be true, but how you open the communication to say how much, because it's something difficult to measure, but how much the other person has to bring is why you feel different.
So we'll leave it at this, is that before any relationship, getting back together or starting a relationship or in the relationship you're in, open up communication, clear communication, transparent communication, share goals and objectives and what you want in your life together. Those are the two things that bring everything else together. Having your goals and your objectives being similar to the other person's and transparently communicating them, your inner feelings, your emotions, and your logic with your partner.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.